Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our hosts sometimes send charts they're talking about directly to the Radio Plus app? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Fadel Gate with us on oil. Fadel, have you changed your oil forecast with this commodity rollover?
Well, we've been saying that oil prices are inflated and they are not supported by market fundamentals. There's plenty of oil. Global economic growth is definitely not strong. Plenty of inventory. Gasoline demand has been going down for the last 4 years.
Right.
Europe is a basket case. The Japanese are not spending as much. And the Chinese are pulling back. So there are no reason that I can see, except for the financial institutions that still have huge influence in the oil prices and keeping oil prices propped up because of fear of supply disruption in the event the Iranian situation does not resolve itself peacefully.
You know, I think of the economist Lawrence Kudlow years ago publishing on this about the lifting cost of oil, or Ben Dell over at Sanford Bernstein. Fadel, what is the lifting cost of oil right now when you sum it all together globally? Is it $40 a barrel?
It's really you really have to look at the marginal barrel. The most expensive barrel of oil.
Okay, better said.
Supply situation comes from Canada, the heavy oil in Canada. And we take about $80 to generate double-digit return on capital. So I see no reason why oil prices should be a dollar higher than $80. And now they are, what, $92, $93 for WTI and $100+ for foreign crude. So I do think that we have at least $10 downside in crude oil prices, and if the economy does not get back on track, I think we are going to see sub-$80 oil in not the long-distant future.
So most of us only think about this this issue when we're at the gas pump. So correct. What does that mean for gasoline prices this year?
We'll have to go down. I mean, gasoline prices, in my view, have peaked, and they are likely to come down, although there will be seasonal support because people will drive more, obviously, than, 3 or 4 months ago. But it's not going to get us back to the $4 plus that we had early this year, which
right.
was totally not supported by fundamentals.
So $3.68, according to AAA this morning, nationwide average for a gallon of regular. What should we look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably, regionally, you're going to probably look at 10-15 cents either way, depending on the weather, depending on the mood, depending on what people expectation. We still have high unemployment. There are a lot of people are looking for jobs. So nobody really is going to take long trips anymore. Nobody is, is going to be willing to pay $4 for gas.
You have outperforms on all the stocks. How can you have outperforms on the stocks?
That's a good sign.
If you're
that's something all investors are calling me, and it's a nightmare for me. To tell you the truth, I never expected the collapse in the energy complex the way it did. The companies are still making a lot of money at...
what are they going to do with that money? I mean, is this a real opportunity for them to create goodwill? I got Chevron up, CVX. Folks, let me send this out on Bloomberg Radio Plus. But Fadel, you got Chevron. You've done very well with that. It's barely budged. It's barely down.
Correct. Well, a couple of things. You have the flight to quality, the Exxon and the Chevron of the world. They don't get hurt when oil prices pull back. Obviously, they are not going to compete with the S&P 500, but these are very solid companies, have decent dividend yield, and will basically, most investors will look at them as the, safer stocks to own. If you want to be in the energy complex, you are not going to bet on very high-flying companies if the commodity prices are heading lower.
You over there? You're just thinking about
right
a gallon of gas.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about a gallon of gas.
No, but I look, seriously, I look, Fadel, at Chevron's cash build.
Yes.
It's gone from $9 billion to $16
billion. Right.
Over 3 years, 4 years.
Actually, I thought they were a little higher, but I will take your word.
Okay, whatever. But What are they going to do with that cash?
Well, a couple of things. Chevron is building the largest industrial project that I know of, which is the Gorgon gas field offshore Australia, which will cost them $44 billion. They own 50%. They are the operator. And so they need the cash. The cash burn is about $1 billion a month. So you're talking about real money here. And so, but having said that, Chevron has huge cash balance. They can borrow a lot of money. They can borrow more than what their cash balance is, and they can use their stock. I mean, if there is an acquisition to be made, if the company feels, the company does not feel compelled to make any acquisition. But I do believe we are going to see a lot of opportunities in the energy space in the next 6 to 12 months. And a company like Chevron obviously can go with a big, fat checkbook and entice companies to make a their mind. So,
Western Australia. There's sharks out there.
Yeah,
just off Western Australia, northwestern Australia.
There is a lot of sharks, but there are a lot of money too.
Well, let's go.
You know, they are feeding LNG to the fastest growing market in the world.
Fado, when you walk in the door and you look at oil and natural gas, what a separation of price! How do you discern that?
Well, a couple of things. We have to remember that gas is more of a regional commodity. Oil is more global. Any global event can take oil prices much higher. But we have seen decoupling that I have never seen in my career, which spans over 30 years. We have one commodity that's totally exaggerated by hype, by fear, by potential supply disruption. And you have another commodity that is cleaner, that is cheaper, that is ours. There are plenty of it. But oversupply obviously killed the commodity price. So we did such a good job that we flooded the market. And that coincided with one of the warmest winters in history and very low industrial demand. It goes without saying you had a collapse in natural gas prices. Only a few weeks ago, gas prices were $1.80, which basically the equivalent of about $10 oil. And oil prices were $110. So the disparity has never been greater. I hope or I think we are going to see much more reasonable discount. And that means that gas prices will have to go higher and oil prices will have to go lower.
This is kind of an oil market 101 question, but can you explain why there's such a difference in the price in London and the price in New York?
That's a very interesting question. The price in London reflects the global sentiment for where crude oil prices should be. The WTI, or our local crude, is basically a landlocked crude. And since we've done a very good job in all the unconventional shale plays, we are increasing our domestic production, have been for the last 4 years. And most of this increase is not coming from offshore, it's coming from onshore, which basically landlocked areas, like the Bakken, for example, North Dakota. We are taking oil to where it's needed by rail, which we have stopped for 70 years ago or even more, because there is no pipeline. So the growth in production has significantly exceeded evacuation route and the ability for this oil to go where it's needed. Now, that is the transportation cost. So the difference between our crude price, which is the WTI, $91, and the Brent crude, which is $107, this $16 is basically, this is the marginal cost of transportation to bring a barrel of crude, whether from Canada or from the upper mid-continent, all the way to the Gulf Coast, where the refiners are.
There's a red button. Do you have a single Best Buy?
Excuse me?
Do you have a single Best Buy? Do you have a stock that
The stock that I like the most today as we speak is Anadarko. The stock symbol is APC. This is the premier exploration company, not in this country, but in the world. They have one of the best track records finding oil. Offshore, they are one of the largest players in the Gulf of Mexico. They are one of the largest players in West Africa. They made a discovery recently, could be one of the largest offshore natural gas discoveries that we've had in many, many years. very well managed company. They settled with BP for $4 billion, which is a very gusty move by its CEO and chairman. And they settled with the Algerian government, almost $2 billion of tax rebate. They only have one thing left, and it's basically a liability of a chemical division of Kerr-McGee, a company that was acquired by Anadarko 5 years ago. So I like the company. They are doing everything right, and I think the stock is tremendously cheap.
Fadogate, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.